And that's it. That's how you do a podcast, folks.
Boom.
I really like that image that whoever put it in the chat room of the
oh my god
between Brian yeah. K. Vaughan. And
did you see that?
No,
that's hilarious.
It's, hey, what's the sun's moon situation on the African plains planet? And the answer is whatever looks awesomest. Maybe a pyramid shaped sun and a donut moon. Caveat: that's, am drunk.
Yeah, moons can't be donut
response. Might tweet this. Text messages from Brian Vaughan.
I would. That's a Tumblr.
That's
I would
a Tumblr.
For.
Yeah.
That was good.
I've read.
Thank you, Ben Wu.
I'm 2.5 or 3 into Why the Last Man, and I got distracted. But I should finish that. I looked at the Pride of Baghdad, and it didn't immediately grab me. But Ex Machina, you think is definitely.
I like Ex Machina more than a Why the Last Man, but I think that's not popular opinion.
I got stuck halfway through Ex Machina mainly because I think I stopped borrowing them from you, Tony, so I should remedy that at some point. But I did read all of Why. I read all of Why a while back, and I enjoyed it. I mean, it's also got that issue of like, if you really want to know like what causes the whole problem, like, you know, well, what causes the whole thing that starts off,
like,
don't keep your hold up. Yeah.
When the Why the Last Man fans, I remember back when Brian K. Vaughan joined the
writing staff
working
of
Lost
yeah.
and we were like, oh, so there's not going to be a real ending.
Yeah. But that's, you know, not to get on my Lost rant.
What about the magnets?
Or my Why the Last Man rant. But it's like, if you're watching because you want to know the answer to a made up problem, you are watching the wrong thing. You're doing
I'm
it wrong
about a lot of stuff, because
Why
okay.
the Last Man is totally not about why
explain the
happened.
MacGuffin.
It wasn't called Why He Is the Last Man.
Yeah, that would have been really
it's just
shitty title.
You just blew my mind.
Yeah, that was too much knowledge you just dropped. You got to dribble it out, Jason.
Oh, and Merlin, what I wanted to do to blow your mind is you were talking about proxies. I was going to say, you know, this is an entire story told in some ways by proxy, by Hazel, who is not essentially a participant in the story. And it's actually her telling it at a remove. You could argue, though, that she, unlike the other people who use proxies, cares about what happens in the story.
You can
but
rock
still,
me to sleep. I think it's the opening to whatever the next, you know, big arc. I think there's got to be a Hazel series, probably. Don't you think?
I don't know.
It wouldn't surprise me if they jump ahead at some point and then say,
this seems like, unlike a lot of Lost, for example, this seems extremely well thought out. You know what I mean?
But whether Hazel's life as a teenager or adult is the point of this story or not, I think is unclear. I'm sure it's all
so
thought out.
So who's the one who broke her heart?
Well,
right.
To be revealed, I suppose. Or not.
Well, I mean, I read that as like, maybe we'll see it in a flash forward. I don't know. That felt like a big
yeah, I know. It was
thing
it
in the
was
room.
Right out there. Yep.
Where was
I
that?
Mean, so far, they've kind of, you know, everything they kind of dangle, it seems like it's there for
well,
a reason.
Well, because
she actually
talks about living a long time. Not just like a teenager, but like a
it
long
seems like,
time.
Maybe she's the lady from Titanic.
And then they cut to the parents, and she says, not everybody does, basically. And you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
From my very first day, I was pursued by... From my very first day, I was pursued by men. All of them tried to hurt me, but only one managed to break my heart.
And keep in mind, right, like this is not a series called Marco and Alana's Adventures. It's called Saga. When it's the idea of a saga, right, is a length, you know, it's an in-depth, big
You know what,
story.
Dan Morin, I've literally never felt so stupid as I feel right now. You know what? That's a really good point.
It's this
That's what it says in my business card.
It's the story of a... Dan Morin, I've never really felt... You've never felt so stupid. That's what it says.
That's good.
But you're right. So I wouldn't be surprised if we have one of those things where it jumps ahead.
Jesus, the smartest thing I say on this fucking podcast, and it's over.
This is After Dark Gold, especially since you dropped the F-bomb.
I'd like to see
there,
an Ultimate Universe saga.
Oh my god.
Maybe like a saga invasion.
Yeah, like what's saga like on Earth 616?
Yeah, guys,
like
guys,
tell me about that.
Tell me how this story works if everyone's a
scroll.
Scroll.
Really Here's the thing. Tony stole my scroll joke.
Crisis on Infinite Sagas.
Half of the people
the scroll joke,
saga.
Jason. You can't hold back.
Saga on Infinite Crises.
Half the people are Skrulls. Half the people are life model decoys.
No.
Go
half
nuts.
The people are Skrulls. The other half are Skrulls from Earth 2.
Oh man, why you got to do that to me? I'm going to be up all night sketching that out.
There's a lot I don't understand about Skrulls, but I know enough to know.
Oh my god,
I don't want to know anything more about them.
You know, actually, the Skrull rule applies to TV shows. Anytime you're watching a TV show and they introduce a character who is a a shape-changing, usually assassin, that's the end of that show. That show is
dead. Oh, right. That's a jump the shark thing.
Fringe,
it's so frustrating, though, to talk X-Files. To a serious nerd. It's so frustrating to talk to a serious nerd, like in the House of M. Wasn't that my success where we're talking about? I was like, oh yeah, and, you know, there's a great scene with where Spider Woman.
Oh yes,
one of my
favorite
scenes.
Well,
Spider Woman,
but
says,
technically that was Spider Woman when she was a Skrull.
Technically,
oh god,
that's too much.
See now,
that's
now,
all
now,
bad
a lot
things
of people,
about comics.
I felt like I could like responsibly skip Secret Invasion. Now, what's the take on that? Should I jump in? Is it worth doing?
I read a couple issues, and I mean I've read a lot of Marvel events, and that one didn't do anything for me at all.
It seemed frustrating. What do you think, Tony?
I'm not up to speed on it. Confession: I have read more stuff by Brian Michael Bendis that is not Marvel than his Marvel stuff.
Interesting.
Oh, look at me! I'm fancy boy.
Like
I live in Boston.
Way, not in like a hipster way, like I screwed up way, like. I was really into Brian Michael
I've got
Bendis
these Powers
he,
galleys that I just
art.
Read. That's all I really look at.
I like Powers. I like Powers.
No, I only like the Powers. Galleys. I didn't like the corrected ones. Anyway.
But I have all of Brian Michael Bendis' work from when he did his own art.
Oh, wow. Tony,
yeah.
Tony, but...
He did this really,
oh, yeah.
But,
I read Fortune and Glory to someone like
yeah,
me, which is
he,
fantastic.
He did all this cool crime stuff that's all set in Cleveland where he's from, and it's great, but like, yeah, and it's like... You know, Ultimate Spider-Man started, and I kind of like got out of comics for a little while, and then you know,
I
still catching.
I have the hardcovers. I have the entire 13 hardcovers of Ultimate Spider-Man.
I have since read, I think, the first 100 issues.
I got one signed by him, but no big deal. I've got.
Now he was actually kind of.
Did you see my fractions? Did you see my fractions? Did you see that, Jason? Did you see my fractions?
I didn't. 3/4, 4/8, 8/13.
Ooh, God! All the way. I got 3/2.
Oh, man.
Two.
Mm-hmm.
Go fish.
Yeah, unresolvable. Is that right?
Jenga.
Uno.
Yahtzee.
Okay.
Guys, am I having a seizure?
Am I shitting? It feels like I'm shitting.
Oh, there you go.
Help. Oh, I brought it all the way around.
All the way.
Man, I will never forget opening that up and seeing that first panel and going like, oh my gosh, I'm in for such a ride here. unless you're into that, please don't be into that.
Okay, we got to come back sometime and do a Hawkeye episode too, because that is
I'm ready.
Spectacular.
I mean, I'm behind on Hawkeye, but I'm
the second trade of Hawkeye comes.
Did you look at 12 yet?
I haven't.
I bought it tonight, but I haven't seen it.
But have you devoured 11 like
I read,
my family?
I read issue 11 on the plane when I was flying out to Pittsburgh last week. Not a euphemism. And I was smiling, and I had to flag my wife down because we were on Southwest. So it was me and the kids, and my wife was across the aisle. And I was like, you gotta see. And she doesn't even read comics. I'm like, but it's the dog. It's the perspective of the dog. Look, it's bark, 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 bark. Dog.
My daughter reads it to me.
Oh my God.
She points it and she does. And then there's a coffee pot and a teddy bear, the baby's teddy bear. And then she also likes coffee. But I'm gonna tell you a couple things. First of all, 12, no spoilers, but wow. Remember the is nearly equal to sign? Mm-hmm. This guy is nearly equal to Hawkeye, to Clint. Do you remember that one?
Yes,
the
yes.
The guy on the roof? Okay. I'm just going to say issue 12.
Wow.
Wow, I wasn't expecting that. Here's the thing. I will tell you, no spoilers. And I'm either really stupid or really smart. Probably stupid. Go and open up that wonderful page where Pizza Dog's sniffing the doors in the alley and hold it up against page maybe 6 or 8 or 10 of like the first issue where they're first on the roof with grills.
Yeah.
And like everybody on that page is on the roof. The guy with the incense.
Oh, sure. All the people who live in the building.
Oh, my God. But it's like I never like bonded with the pink haired lesbian girl. I never like had her fixed in my mind as part of the story. The African-American lady with the kids. Yeah, I knew about grills. I knew about. But like, you know, or like the African-American guy who's the musician the artist. Like I had never like fixed all that in my mind. But looking at those two pages right next to each other, you're like, God damn it. This is so well thought out. God, I love comics.
I stopped reading them for a long time.
Do you guys like comics?
Here, and then
I love comics.
And then I love comics. Tony.
And then
I love comics.
I torrented a bunch of stuff. And I
could you say that again slowly?
I totoroed a bunch of stuff.
I've been standing on 150 episodes just to catch you in the act. You're under no.
Yes. Haha.
It was a long con.
But what I did was the ones that, so I started reading Ultimate Spider-Man and I was like, oh crap. So then what did I do? I bought the freaking hardcovers of all of them. So, and but with Comixology, yeah, I'm ruined.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
I started
to go back and rereading old stuff.
Did you see the Pizza Dog t-shirt, by the way?
Bought it.
I bought two
Hawkeye shirts yesterday.
Jason, I have to throw this out just because I went to look. Somebody mentioned a Lion Cat t-shirt. I think I was looking to see if there was a...
Yeah, they had it at the Image Expo. They had
Right.
Dan, are you going to mention Supernatural?
It shows up in a Supernatural episode because Felicia Day is wearing it.
I did not know Felicia Day was on Supernatural. I learned two things.
That was before I knew what the comic... Like, as before I read Saga. So, like,
really?
That episode was months ago.
She's charming.
So there was. I thought that was funny. I also thought it was funny because I lent these to Serenity and she read them and was like, "Is the Lion Cat like from like? I feel like I've heard of this before. Like this device in like a and in some sort of like myth or something like
or
that."
Or Merlin's so bio.
We were trying to Google it, and of course, if you try to Google lion cat, you just get a lot of pictures of cats lying down.
Totally,
and it's really
super
not
frustrating. It's like searching for Kitty Pride. You're like, stop polluting the namespace.
The Kitty Pride Parade, by the way, is the best parade.
Oh, no. It's like guys in rainbow shorts.
I don't understand.
Who walks through walls? It's...
I'm going to send you a link here.
We haven't done After Dark in a while, so this will be good.
All right. Well, priceless. How do I send this to you guys in the robot?
Pizza is my business.
So is this
t-shirt legal? Or is
See,
it
that's my question. I don't know. Because I don't think.
Illegal shirt.
Like for Icon, yes. But I mean, for Marvel, straight up Marvel, I don't think he owns the IP on that. Tony Sindelar can't be added due to his or her privacy settings. Oh, nice privacy settings, Tony Sindelar. That's okay. He didn't need to see it. Hey, you guys, look at that, but not Tony.
Wait, what?
I don't see anything either. Put it in the chat room.
I got it.
I don't have a chat room.
Oh, I'm afraid that if I click on it, I'm going to crash Skype. Oh, there it is.
We're not Skype contacts.
Which one are you?
In Jason's hall.
Which one am I again?
Oh, it's
No, no,
is this your fraction?
Oh, it's your signed comics.
Look at the FF.
Someone doodled on your comics, Merlin. You should really
doodle on my what?
On your comics. Someone's just writing all over him.
Guy's a dick. He's like a handsome version of me, like a handsome, talented version of me.
Eleanor, the Moloids love you too.
I just told him, I was like, you know, my daughter just is, we've got, I don't know, do you read FF?
Nope.
No, but there's the first issue of FF Volume 2 is really great. You know what? I'm going to shut up, but this is nerdy, but it's very special. Very special. Because I was just telling him how much, you know, I'm one of the four people that besides Andy Iannotko, I'm sure, who's read the entire Hickman run of FF and Fantastic Four. So I came into this a big Moloids fan. And then, you know, the Moloids, I'm just saying, like, for kid reading, FF is pretty great. Darla Deering. Anyway. Do we have to do titles? Was anybody listening?
There were a few people listening. I saved them out, but if you want to go over them, we can do that. That's
20 titles. What the fuck? What's going on here? Where are you people?
This is no.
It's very
work.
Late.
Hush.
It's all. It,
yeah,
it's,
keep,
it's
keep it on
it's,
the DL.
It's very late on the for those poor suckers on the East Coast. Ground up in a system of proxies. Robot skin in the game.
That's my favorite Jay-Z song.
The robot skin in the game is good. Seahorse on
Seahorse
line one.
On line one.
That's what's
stupid.
The link, Dan? Do you know the link for that?
Showbot.5x5.tv.
Love is fought by proxies. Star Wars for perverts. Even monsters have jobs, Jason.
That's fine for Mark.
And Boba Fett without a hat. That's good stuff.
A lot of good options in there.
Yeah.
Multipass. I gotta watch that again. Well, do you think that'll stand up if I watch the
Fifth Element?
Yeah. Well, because I mean, it was silly at the time, but I kind of want to watch it again.
Luc Besson's not a bad director, but there is just a lot of
it's pretty campy.
Yeah, he's uneven.
Ian Holm is fun in that. I seem to recall.
Yeah. Jeez, I forgot he was even in that. I haven't seen that in ages.
Yeah, Ian Holm was Ben Kingsley before it was cool. He was just going out and doing movies. You know, he's like Joe Pesci in his way through the 90s. Yeah, sure, I'll go. Yeah, I'll be in it, whatever.
I like that there's a Dan Moore and You Never Felt So Stupid for show not listed.
Well, it was off the
That's
air.
Great. Yeah, I'm voting that up.
Yes. Well, I mean, we're still on the air, but I turned off the thing that makes it separate the things. But I'll turn off the thing. So once again, this live stream was brought to you by Nicecast, Rogue Amoeba Software, Paul Kafasis. Rogue Amoeba Software, buy their products. They're great. And quite honestly, we wouldn't be streaming live tonight if it weren't for Paul. And 5x5 would never stream without Nicecast, because that's what everybody uses to stream 5x5 live. So
also, everybody should read Paul's weblog or blog.
One Foot Tsunami.
Which is really, he's picky, what, like maybe once a day? And he's got a great link and great commentary, which is so rare today.
I was going to say like once a month. But
so funny and handsome.
He's so handsome.
OneFootTsunami.com and listen to his podcast with Amy Jane Gruber, Just the Tip.
18 Charisma.
This stream brought to you by Paul Kafasis.
Paul Kafasis.
Let's just mention
ask for him
for all of your Kafasis needs.
By name. Yeah.
Ask for him if you're in Boston.
Well, you can ask for him elsewhere, but he won't be there.
You won't get him.
He won't be there.
He won't be delivered.
And we're off.
Good times.
Thanks, oh, man, guys. Now we can say mean stuff.
Thanks. I'm sorry I talk so much. Yeah. Fucking you should have me on for something I don't care about. Okay. I fucking care about this comic. I don't know. Right. It's so special.
Next time I email you and say, hey,
oh, vampire sex show. Have you done for one of those Doctor Who
which
sex
vampire show? Sex shows, people? There's a lot to cover.
So, Merlin, we'll have you on the Supernatural episode.
You could have me on the vampire sex show draft.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, that one with the white
Dan,
skin boy.
I already did
you
that.
You can't do that because Dan took all of those.
Yeah. I'm going to pick the show with the thin bone guy.
Absurdity
with pale
and reality
skin.
Have already.
Oh, that guy. The guy who looks like a
hey,
rock star.
Can I ask you a question? I'd heard great things about Under the Dome, and I tried it, and it didn't. Should I stick with it?
So. I like the first episode, but all the TV critics I follow say that the second episode is bad and the third episode is worse. So now
I thought the first one felt like, you know, I don't watch much like TV, but like when I do, like there's some stuff like Sherlock Holmes or like Black Orphan. Like there's these certain shows I'll watch.
Orphan
and
Black,
like, oh,
right?
Black Orphan, is that
Orphan
right?
Black.
No, I think you're thinking of Aunt Jemima.
Yes. The Black Orphan, Sherlock Holmes, also not the name. But okay.
Let me start over. Yes. So anyway, The Honeymooners is a show with Jackie Gleason, yes. Who's heavy.
And Lucy,
to the moon, Merlin.
Lucy, I love you. Lucy, I love you is a good show, too.
You can't be in the show.
And Dick Van Dyke's show, that's also a good one.
I think you're thinking of Mary Tyler Moore, who he's divorced from.
Oh.
Mary Tyler Moore.
That makes sense.
Yeah, what was that Mary Tyler Moore show called?
The one with David Letterman?
Rhoda?
Laverne and Shirley.
Phyllis? No.
Yes. Anyway, I flipped it on and I was like my lady watches Walking Dead, which has improbably become like just too fucking dark for me. Like it's like too much. Like Ben Acker said, I had a call with Ben and he was like, you know, the people in Night of the Living Dead, which is the one at the mall, Day of the Dead?
Dawn of the Dead.
It's like the people in Dawn of the Dead figure out more in the first hour than people in the Walking Dead TV show figure out in like two seasons.
Haven't they seen zombie movies?
Have you never seen it?
Or like have they like,
go to Circuit City
to
and watch a zombie
them.
Laser disc? Yeah. But anyway, I just flipped it on and I was like, oh man, this feels like so Under the Dome. It just felt so, I don't know, not recycled exactly, but like there's that guy.
That.
There's that guy who's that guy, and there's that girl who's that girl, and I don't know. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I mean, my take on it is sort of like there are probably better things to watch on Netflix or something like that rather than than the first episode. Okay. Like I said, I thought it was okay, but if it goes downhill from there, that's not...
Right. Well, did you guys recommend Orphan Black? Is that where
I haven't heard about it? I have not seen
Orphan
none of
Black.
Them.
Spectacular. Mm-hmm.
I'm four episodes in. Should I stick with it? It seems real. That woman is. Oh, you know what? Fucking A. You're the one who said this. Yes.
Every episode is better.
And she's and you're like, there's no way that you could have another one of her.
It's
and then like as you say, like impersonating like a different version of her.
Yeah, she's not just doing five characters, but each of them starts impersonating one another, and you can tell that.
And Fee, you got Fee. I love him. Yeah. God, it's so great. Yeah, and when he goes over and babysits. Okay. Enough said.
Yeah, when you get to the episode where there's the party at the suburban mom's house.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that.
I just got past
like, suburban mom teaches her how to shoot. So I'm in like three or four, maybe.
Yeah, you got a couple more, and yeah, it's spectacular.
Okay, I'll keep going.
Throws a party, and there's, yes, crazy things happen. So,
Thank you. And so this will come out in a week or you guys are you no, guys doing vacation this, stacking? This is that what I hear?
I'm banking this one. So depending on what happens at Comic-Con, this one might not show up for like a month. So
Jason, what happens at Comic-Con stays at
yeah,
Comic-Con.
Well, except if we may do a rambling drunken episode from Comic-Con, in which case
are you going to go?
I am going to Comic-Con.
That's exciting.
I almost went.
So oh, Dan.
Next year.
Yeah.
What if you see a cosplay version of you, Jason? Better. What would you do?
You know, I had a dream of doing...
Have you thought about it? I mean, just to be prepared?
I had a dream. So, Merlin, here was my plan. Is we were going to do an incomparable meetup, and we were gonna all cosplay as each other. And I was going to be Syracuse. I was going to buy a striped rugby shirt.
Guys, I'm going to be honest. I've seen those group photos from Macworld. You all look the same.
It's not true. You mean the Dans? All the Dans look the same. That's true.
Doughy reliable men.
Same. It's true.
Look, you're all very nice, but let's you know.
Well, but again, I want to cosplay as Syracuse, which means I need the rugby.
There's only so much of a spectrum.
I need the striped.
Your hardcore Apple fan.
Striped rugby
we just
shirt.
Met Tony, and I already love you.
Yeah.
That's really creepy to hear.
That's because I'm wearing your clothes. You look good with your hair like that.
Merlin, too much.
Not too much. I'll tell you when it's too much. You go back in the well. Okay.
That's the verbal equivalent of some image appearing on Merlin's TV head.
So what do you think? Can they control it? I'm sorry. I took you away from cosplay.
I think they absolutely can't control it. I think that's the whole point.
It's like an involuntary expression.
Is it him, though, or can the other... I guess we don't see the other one.
Do we see anybody else
get a picture on their face? But why is there gay porn on his TV? Like, why is that? Why is someone coming in a human mouth on that?
I cannot understand how we could even talk about this. It's hilarious. Why is there gay porn on his TV head? I don't know.
So anyway, you dressed up as John Syracuse. That'll serve me well at sea.
Yeah.
Ooh.
John
is taller than you think.
He is. He is. He's a very tall person.
Tall.
But Dan is tall, too.
Man.
I haven't seen you in a while, Dan. You're a handsome man. I wish we could spend more time together.
I saw you briefly at Macworld. I feel like
all too briefly,
at WWC for like 2 seconds.
I don't get out as much as I'd like. We're coming to New England, as they say, in the next month or so.
Connecticut, Maine.
Probably
New Hampshire, Vermont,
Vermont.
Which is the one with the stones?
Vermont,
Rhode Island,
New Hampshire. What? Which one? No, Rhode Island. We're going to Rhode Island. And boy, is it ever costly to fly there. It is old roadie. It's shaped like a tooth.
Roadie.
Tasmanian devil, they called it. It's very costly to fly there.
It is.
Do you remember Big Tex?
It's cheaper than driving.
Do you remember Big Tex and Little Roadie, Merlin? Do you remember Big Tex and Little Roadie?
Whoa. What is that?
That was a Letterman bit, and it was Manute Bol dressed as a cowboy and a little person. And the bit was that he was Big Tex from Texas, the largest of the contiguous
states.
He was
from Rhode Island.
And the little roadie was from Rhode Island. And the whole bit was, hey, Tex. Hello, roadie. And that was the whole thing. That was all it was. Big Tex and little roadie.
Letterman would never shy away from a premise without a point.
No reason for it to be
Parting shot. Did you hear his interview with his... I mean, so like I'm just going to say, like I know Alec Baldwin is insufferable. But I really like, here's the thing. His interview with Letterman from a few months ago was really good.
Yeah.
I've re-listened to it several times, and just for what it's worth. If you're a Letterman fan, don't you think?
Which I am. Yep.
I heard stuff there. Well, you tell me. I heard stuff there I had not heard other places. And I'm kind of a Letterman fan.
He's very rarely that open about stuff and not just kind of doing his bits when he very rarely will consent to a real interview. Like even the Jerry Seinfeld comedians in cars getting coffee. Mm-hmm. You know, he's doing his, you know, comedy persona guy, and it's very rare that you see him somewhere
like shields down.
In my house I have a VHS tape of him on Donahue that's actually a pretty good interview, but from like 1985 or something.
Wow.
That I've saved,
really?
But it's on a decaying VHS tape in my garage now.
From the wrestling shoes.
One of these days I'm gonna digitize all of my ancient things and put them on YouTube.
Yeah,
and
that'll
have them be removed. Totally happen. One of these days.
Okay, thanks for doing this.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, I love you guys. Good I feel like we're gonna always be here together on Wreath.
In this special moment. Right. Goodbye.